Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 14. The Reverend James Baumgardner is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 14. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. I grew up in a strong Lutheran home. There's no doubt about that. But there was one Christmas where I distinctly remember a gift wrapped underneath the Christmas tree that had on its label, "To James from Jesus and Santa." As if the elves somehow at the North Pole, they finished making the toy or the socks or whatever it was, whatever the gift was, and Jesus, the Son of God, and jolly old Saint Nick happened to be standing there, and they all kind of agreed that, hey, James has been such a good boy this year that let's go in on this gift together and give this gift to James. I really thought nothing of it. It seemed completely reasonable to me because both Christmas stories were true, at least for a time. And if Santa's sole purpose of existing was to give me gifts, well, then maybe that was God's sole purpose as well. And unfortunately, cultural Christianity often falls down that trap, right? Strengthen your faith, claim the gift, and then you can dismiss the giver of the gift. God is a means to the end and not the end himself. Well, our text today from Matthew 7 comes from the tail end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's been teaching what it looks like to be a disciple in the kingdom, and how that kingdom of God spills out into practical living. Disciples look and think differently than the world does. They're called to be reflective of God's own heart, and they find their source and their identity in the Lord, and then they seek first his kingdom above all things. And it's that relationship of love and grace flowing first from the Father above that draws disciples into this eternal family. And because we have a faithful advocate who has entered the Holy of Holies by his blood through the cross, even sinful disciples like us are brought right up into the throne room of God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. And in him, we can approach freely God with confidence through faith so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so, dear child of God, boldly ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Or as John the Baptist declares, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. But you and I today, we're not theologians of glory, or at least we should not be theologians of glory. That is to say, God does not exist for the purpose of giving us stuff in this world, fulfilling wishes like some genie, or providing material goods for instant gratification like some vending machine, as if our prayers are simply the payment so that his blessings would flow down towards us. Saint Nicholas, the historical man, is probably hanging out with Jesus. But the setting is worship before the throne of God in his heaven, not the North Pole. And so what are we to make of this passage that demands that we ask, seek, knock? Because many times throughout your life, you know you felt like you have asked God for something and you never received it. You've sought his wisdom and walked away feeling completely empty. You've knocked and you've felt like nobody is home. And when that happens, the slanderer, the deceiver, the evil one, he places all the blame squarely on your shoulders. as if asking, seeking, and knocking. It's all contingent on the amount of faith that you have and not on the Father who still loves you and doles out grace to his children. In his devotional series, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers wrote, "At times God will appear like an unkind friend, but he is not. He will appear like an unnatural father, but he is not. He will appear like an unjust judge, but he is not. Keep the thought that the mind of God is behind all things strong and growing. Not even the smallest detail of life happens unless God's will is behind it. Therefore, you can rest in perfect confidence in him. Prayer is not only asking, but is an attitude of the mind which produces the atmosphere in which asking is perfectly natural." I like that. The atmosphere is perfectly natural through prayer. By saying that, he's describing the fact that our prayer life is far more than writing a note to Santa Claus and asking for all the things. And it's more like this conversation between a father and a child, a relationship in which grace abounds and love has no limits, a relationship much deeper, much wider, much longer than any human relationship that we could know. After all, which one of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? Good things because your Father truly loves you. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Of course you are, for God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, cultural Christianity, it often seeks the gift. Christianity seeks the giver of the gift. And so when we pray to our Father who art in heaven, by these words, God would tenderly encourage us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that we may ask confidently with all assurance as dear children ask their dear Father. Those words from the Small Catechism show us the atmosphere of grace, where in the life of prayer we boldly approach the throne of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brings us there. And if he does not give at the minute, Martin Luther says, he will still give you so much that meanwhile your heart will experience comfort and strength till the time that he gives more abundantly than you would have hoped for. For this is also a good feature of prayer, he writes. If one habitually practices it, and thus meditates upon the word that he has promised, and that the heart becomes continually stronger and more firmly confides, and finally obtains much more than otherwise. So ask, seek, and knock for the small things and for the trivial things, for the large things and the life-changing things. He will listen and he will bless you according to his most perfect will, all out of pure fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you. Because ultimately, through our asking, our seeking, our knocking, what we're really after is the giver of all of these gifts. We thirst for waters from a fountain of his grace. He gives daily bread to us in ways that always work perfectly according to his will, in ways that remind us of the true bread that comes from heaven, that which we ultimately long for, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who would not spare his own son for your sake, he loves to hear the voice of his faithful child. You are rooted and you are grafted into this inheritance, born of blood and water, renewed by his spirit into the life-giving family of God. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And this gift of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, it is more than sufficient. And so ask, seek, and knock. Your Lord is listening.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.